The Yeshiva Gedolah of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. In Parashas Achrei Mos, right at the beginning, Posuk Beis, Hashem said to Moshe, Daber el Aaron Ochicho, speak to your brother Aaron. Aaron was the Kohen Godel. Al Yovei b'cholei salak kodesh. Do not come at all times to the Kodesh, mi beis la paroches, from the sanctuary beyond the curtains. Alpenei kapores, to enter the chamber which had the kapores, asher ala oran, on top of the oran. In the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and later in the Beis Hamikdash, which was built by David and Shlomo HaMelech in Yerushalayim, you had your chotzer, your azora, which was the courtyard. Then you had what was known as the bais, the Mishkan, the sanctuary proper. The sanctuary proper basically was divided into two chambers. The first chamber was known as the Kodesh. And there you had your menorah, your shulchan, and your mizbeach hapnimi, your inner altar. In the chotzer, in the courtyard, was the mizbeach hachitzayim, the outer altar. Then there were curtains, the pareches. And then you went into the most inner chamber, which was known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, also called Lifnayu Lifnim, that was inward. And there was the Oren HaKodesh, the Oren, the Ark. On top of the Oren was the Kaporis. That was a golden cover, which hewed out of it in pure gold were the two images of the Kruvim. One in the image of a young boy, the other in the image of a young girl. And they had wings like angels, and they were facing each other. And in the Oren HaKodesh were the Luchais HaAchreinis, the second tablets, the Shivrei HaLuchais, the broken tablets, and the Sefer Torah which Moshe wrote. So the Kohanim would often, or not more than often, all of the time, Tomit, would be performing the Avoda, all that was required in the Azora, the Chotzer, the courtyard, and in the Kodesh. The fact is, in the Kodesh itself, they had to go in twice a day for the menorah, and they had to go in twice a day for the Torah Sasamim, the incense, and so forth. But now the Torah is telling us to speak to Aaron Ochicho, and he must not come at all into the Kodesh Mibes Laparoches, to go from the Kodesh past the curtains into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Alpenei HaKaporis, in the front of the golden images, Asher Ala Oren, which were on top of the Oren, V'Leyamus. And if he does, he will be guilty of the death. He will be subject to the death penalty. Mishamayim, from heaven. Ki Be'onan Eroeh Ala Kaporis. Because I am to be seen in the cloud on top of the Kaporis. Rashi says, Ki tomir ani nireshon. This is where I am. Im amud anani. Kodesh Baruch Hu was always in the anun anan amud. He was enveloped in a cloud. And that cloud, after they built the Mishkan, dwelled in that place. Well, the fish golish chinose shom, and since this is where my shechina is, this is where I dwell. Yizore shele yargel lovei. This is out of bounds. You're not allowed to come. We see from here, well, before that, now, if we go to Parshas Truma, in Perek Chofei, Pasuk Yud Zayin, where there Moshe was instructed on the Maleches HaMishkon when he was building the sanctuary. So there we have Vosisa Kaporis Zohov Tohor. The Torah tells him how to make the Kaporis out of pure gold. These are these two images. Vosisa Shnayim Krubim Zohov. You shall make these two images out of gold. They should be hewed out. One on one side of the kaporis and the other on the other side. And they shall spread their wings upward. Their wings should cover this golden top, upneim ish el ochim, and they shall be facing each other. Ela kaporis yimne preakrubim. Venosata es hakaporis aloha oren memolo. And you shall take this kaporis and put it on top of the oren. Ve elho oren titein eso edus. And in the oren you shall place the edus, the testimony, that's the Torah, and the tablets, as we mentioned. Asher etein elecho, which I will give to you. Vino'adati l'choshom, and this is where I will be all of the time, and this is where I will meet you. Vidibati itcho, and I will speak to you. Me'ala kaporis, Hashem is speaking to Moshe, and I will speak to you. This is the place where I will meet you, and I will speak to you, and my voice will come through the kaporis, mibein shnei hakruvim, between the two images, asher al aron ha'edus, which are above the oren. Eis kol asher atzava eischo. Whatever I command to Yisrael, this is where I will speak from. El b'nei Yisrael. So, what we learn from here, that even though the whole world is full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, Mole Kol Oretz Kvodo, but still there are places where he dwells more than in other places. Firstly, Eretz Yisrael is Miuchedes Lishchino. Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there I am there all of the time. In Eretz Yisrael, specifically Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, specifically, even more so, on Har HaBayis, that's the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, more specifically, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and in the Kodesh, until we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is his permanent dwelling place. And this is where we find the Shekhinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, stronger than any other place in the world. Why there? Because that's where the Oren was. And in the Oren was the Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah, it was through the Torah that he bound himself to Yisrael and to the world. And that's his meeting point, as it states, because this is where I will instruct you what to instruct, what to give over to Yisrael. So that was the Nakuda. That was the meeting point of the Yisrael, or of the world, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the two Kruvim illustrated. Because I'll tell us the fact that they looked at each other, this, and one was a male and female, showed the bond between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fact is, it states when there was anger between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael, that Yisrael was not fulfilling his Torah, the two kruvim would turn away from each other. And because this is the place of the Shechina, ki be'onan eiroya, I am in this cloud, and therefore, he says, he instructs and warns, even Aaron the Kohen Gadol, you are never to go there. That was out of bounds. That wasn't part of this world. Because it states, Hashemayim, Shemayim Lashem, Be'odis Nosan Livnei Odom. God Baruch Hu said, the heavens are mine and the earth is yours. Well, if the earth is yours, so then why can't you go there? The answer is, it was not part of the earth. It was not part of our world. If we go into this a little deeper, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wanted to dwell in this world. And therefore, he instructed Israel to build the sanctuary, but also that you shall make a mishkan, also the mikdash, v'shachanti b'seichom, that I may dwell in it. The reason why the Medrash says that he wanted to come and dwell in this world is because he gave the Torah to Israel. And he said the Torah is like my only daughter. Brings a parable. A king has one daughter, a princess, and he marries her off to a great prince. And after all of the festivities, it's time for the prince to return to home. So he comes to the king and says, give me my wife, I want to go home. The king says, I have a problem. He says, she's my only daughter. To give her to you to take, I will not be able to live without her. On the other hand, to keep her I can, because I already married her to you. So says Asu, he says, I have an idea. That wherever you go, Asuli bayis koton, make for me a little house, so that I might come and dwell with you also. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Torah is my only daughter. I've given her to you, I can't take it back. But for me to be without her, also I can't. Therefore, make for me a home where I can come and live with the Torah and you also. Adohu deksiv, that's what is written in the Torah, v'osu li migdosh v'shochanti b'seichom. Make for me a migdosh, a sanctuary where I can dwell. So we see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the Chazal say we not only acquired the Torah, we acquired HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So he wants to live here. And the Torah with Israel is what brought Hashem from the higher worlds into these worlds, into our worlds. So this was the Chibur. This is what joined the two worlds together. The Elyonim and Tachtonim, the higher worlds and the lower worlds, spiritual and physical. And at that point is the Chibur, is the bond, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. The Gemara says in Masech Yuma, the Oren is placed on top of a rock. And that rock goes down to the core of the earth. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the earth is a sphere. When you make a sphere, you don't make it outside in, you make it inside out. He started at that core. And he wove around and around and around it until we had the earth. So he started with that rock, and that's why it's called the Evan Shasiyah, which means that he wove around and around it. And that is called the Tibor Shel Ha'aretz, the navel of the earth. Tibor, why is it called the navel? Because it is through the navel that the embryo is connected to the mother. And from there grows. This was the same with the earth and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's right in this chamber, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Oren is. This place is what Yaakov called Bais. When he went, and he was fleeing from Esau. Then the sages tell us he went to the Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Eber and he studied there for 14 years, day and night. Then he carried on in his journey and he came to a mountain and he went to sleep. He had the dream of the Sulamutz of Arzo, a ladder which was based on the earth, the Reisha Bagia Shemaima, going into the heavens. Malachi Ashores, the Malachi Hashem, the angels were going down, up and down. He woke up, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. When he woke up, he said, Ein zeh kim beis Hashem. This is not just a mountain, this is the house of Hashem. He called it a bais. This was the place of the Beis HaMikdash to be. B'zeh shara shomayim. He said, this is the gateway to heaven. He had realized that this is where the two worlds touch. And the Chazal say, Beis HaMikdash shel malo mechuven lebeis HaMikdash shel mato. Directly above, in the spiritual world, is the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. And the ladder represented the joining of the two worlds. Now, this place was not from this world. This is where the other world came and joined this world. And therefore it wasn't physical. Sages say, why was the Oren called Oren? From the word Or, light. Because Kula Or, it was all light. Whenever the sages want to refer to something which is bilti gashmi, something which is not physical, they give it a name of light. And further, it states that the Oren was not Tefes Mokum. It states that you could measure the whole chamber with the Oren, and you could measure it without the Oren. And the measurements were the same. The Oren did not decrease at all the volume of the chamber that it took up. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you must come all the time, it was called, the Mishkan was called the Ohel Moed. Moed is from the word Viud. This was the meeting place all of the time between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it states that Moshe would come in and he would hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice come from the Oren and through the Kaporis. But Rashi explains in Parshas Truma, Pasuk Beis, not that he would come into the Kodesh HaKadosh. He also would not come in. He would stand outside of the curtains and the voice would come out to him. Now we go further. In Pasuk Gimel, the next Pasuk, it states, B'zeish Yovei Aren El HaKodesh. There was one exception to this rule. With this, Aren should come to the Kodesh. B'par ben bokol lachatas v'ayel le'ola. With a par ben bokor, with this bullock, for a chatos, and an ayel le'ola, and this ram. What are we referring to? So the Torah goes on to explain exactly what he should do with all of this. And then, later on in Posuk, in Pasuk Chof Tes, The Torah tells us, when are we speaking about? This should be a statute forever. In the seventh month, the seventh month refers to Tishrei, this was the seventh month from Nisan, on the tenth of the month. This refers to Yom HaKippurim. Tanu es nafshei seichem, you shall, excuse me, you shall humble your hearts and lives. V'kol malocha leisasu, you shall not do any work. Ho ezrach v'ager agor b'seichem, ki v'yom azeh, because on this day yechaper al lechem letareschem, I will bring atonement to you, and I will purify you. Mikol chateisechem, from all of your sins, livnei Hashem titoru, you shall purify yourself, become pure before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos, Shabboson hi lochem, this shall be a Shabbos of Shabbos before you. V'nisem es nafsheisechem chukas elam, who shall do all of this? Aaron, or v'chiper akeina sheyim shachaisai, v'ashiyimale shodei lechayin tachas oviv, the Kohen Gadol, or his sons. So, what was the exception to this? Then, in the next pasuk, in pasuk Lamed Daled, it states, "Voices os lachem lachukas olam lachapel bnei Yisrael mikol chatosam achas b'shona." One time every year, on the tenth day of the seventh month, on Yom HaKippurim, then Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, or if he is not living, then the son becomes the high priest, they shall be allowed to go into this chamber, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Firstly, why was it only Aaron could go, the Kohen Gadol, or his son? And why only on this day? The Beis HaMikdosh, the Kodesh, or the entire, the Beis HaMikdosh with its Kodesh, like we explained, that was part of this world. And therefore, there was the numerical dimension of seven. For example, the menorah, which was in the Kodesh, had seven branches, seven candles. Seven represents the totality of this world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world in 6 days of work and in 1 day of rest. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, like we explained though, that was not from this world, that was beyond this world. So therefore, that is illustrated through a dimension of higher than seven, and that's eight. And that's also the dimension of the Torah. We see that the Torah was given in the eighth week. After we went out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, then we counted the days, and we counted 49 days, 7 weeks, and on the 50th day, on the 8th week, the Torah was given. We find also, for example, David HaMelech wrote a special Kapitel Tilim, Kufyutes, where he praises the Torah. The whole chapter of Tehillim is devoted to the praises of the Torah. He praises the Torah with the entire Aleph base, but 8 times with each letter. 8 times with the Aleph, 8 times with the base, 8 times with the Gimel. Again, the dimension of eight, because that represents something which is beyond our world, our physical world. The Kohen Gadol, he was also referred to as the Ben Shemone Begodim. The regular Kahanim, they had their garments that they wore when they were doing the Avodah, when they were doing the service in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Kohen Gadol had his own. No one was allowed to wear his garments, and the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to wear their garments. Theirs were four. He had eight garments, Shmone Begodim. And these are the garments which are illustrated in detail in Parshas Tzave. See, he was referred to as the Ben Shmone Begodim, the one who would wear the entire year the eight garments. There also, the Maral explains, because he was on an extraordinary high level, where he was always serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was beyond this world. And this was the meaning, the emphasis of the eight garments. We find that he never left the Beis HaMikdosh, for example, even if he became an onen or an ovel, if someone in his a close relative would die, then he was not allowed to interrupt his service in the Beis HaMikdosh. Min HaMikdosh LeYetzeh. Not allowed to go out of the Beis HaMikdosh. He always was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From here we understand, and this pasuk that we just read, where it states, "Zeish Yovei Aaron al HaKodesh," this is when Aaron should come to the Kodesh, into this chamber. So the Medrash says, "With what schus? Through what merit? B'schus Hamila." The merit of the Bris Milah. Now the Bris Milah was Nitan Bishmini. It's given on the eighth day. And the explanation for that is also because the Bris Milah is where we improve on the physical nature of man. According to the physical nature of man, he's born uncircumcised. We improve. This is a spiritual dimension which comes beyond this world. Therefore, it's given on the eighth day. So from here we see that what individual is capable of going into that chamber, it's only an individual that's capable of identifying with that chamber. Someone who can elevate himself and separate himself from the physical world. So that's why it's Aaron Uvonov, Aaron and his sons, the Bnei Shmeine Begodim, those who wear the eight garments. Now, we'll go a step further. When was he allowed to go in? He said never. Wasn't part of this world. With one exception. Yom HaKippurim. And the Torah gives us a date. It says, Bechodesh HaShvi'i, on the seventh month, Be'osel HaChodesh, on the tenth of the seventh month. What is the emphasis? What is the meaning of the tenth of the seventh? The Medrash says, it says, why is Tishri known as the Shvi'i, the seventh month? Actually, it's really an enigma. Because by Rosh Hashanah, it states also, it says, "Bachodesh Hashvi be'echod lachodesh." On the seventh month, the first day, you shall make Yom Teruah, and that's our Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about Rosh Hashanah. We should be talking about the first month, not the seventh month. So why does the Torah call it there the seventh month? It's true; it's the seventh month Nisan, but you're telling us to make a Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year. So what does it say? Bachodesh Hashvi. This is in Parshas Pinchas. Bachodesh Hashvi, be'echod lachodesh, on the seventh month, the first of the day, of that month, you shall make a Yom Teruah, a day of the shofar. So the Medrash says, because there's a special significance in Tishrei, because it is the seventh month, and that's why it was chosen. Medrash says, kol hashvi'in achavivin and kedoshim, all sevens a very dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their Kodesh. We find the seventh day is Shabbos. And we find the seventh year is Shemitah. And we find the seventh Shemitah is Yovel. And we find the seventh son of Yishai was David HaMelech, the Medrash says. And it goes on and on. And therefore, the seventh month has a particular emphasis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tishrei because it was the seventh month from Nisan. Seven, Shvi, comes from the word Sova. Saba means full and satisfied. It says this month is Sholem. It has everything in it. Then also it mentions it's Soveya b'mitzvahs. Tishrei is full of mitzvahs. And Shofar. And it has Yom Kippur. And it has Sukkah. And it has Lulav and Esrog and so forth. And why the seven represent Soveya full? Because the Shlemus, the fullness of this world, was through the construction in 7 days. 6 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all of the Melocha, but the world still was lacking. More asked, what was the Gemara, what was the world lacking? It was lacking Shabbos. It was lacking completion. Bar Shabbos. Shabbos came on the seventh day. Bar Shalom. Bar Menucha. Now it has a totality. And it's Soveya, it's full. So the seventh month also has, represents the Shlemus, the totality of this world. All right. So we're talking about Yom Kippur that comes out in the seventh month. But it states, Be'ose Lachodesh. Lachodesh HaShvi, Be'ose Lachodesh. The tenth of the seventh month. Why the tenth? So the Chazal tell us ten also has a special significance. And the Maral explains. What significance does ten have? The Chazal say, what's based on a posuk, Ki biyut hei tzurei lomim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the two worlds with the hei and the yud. He created the physical world with the letter hei, and he created the spiritual worlds, the upper worlds, olam haba, with the letter yud. And yud is 10, numerical value 10. So we see that 6 are the days of work. 7 is this world in totality. 8 we're speaking beyond this world. That's the level of Torah and mitzvahs, because that did not come from this world. That preceded this world by some 900 generations. That came to this world, but not from this world. So that's 8. That's why we have like Abris Milo. And that was the Kain Godel, the Shemayin of Agodim. And the Torah was in the Oren, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, the Kain Godel was the one to go there. But what does Yud represent? 8 represents something from this world, but that still can join this world. The Torah is not from this world, but it finds a place for itself in this world. For example, all of the mitzvahs of the Torah we fulfill with this world. We fill an esrog, the mitzvah of esrog, with the fruit. We fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with grain. All of the mitzvahs, basically, we fulfill with this world. So the Torah is something which comes from another world but can join this world. Yud represents something even higher, something that's totally beyond this world and does not join with this world at all. Totally built in Gashmi. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the next world with a Yud. Ein Leirasa states that we had prophets that could see beyond this world, but no prophet could see that far. The Torah itself is a prophecy. That's the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. But no one could see as far as the next world, as Olam Haba. And that's why it was created with a Yud. And Yud, in general, represents a new dimension. Because when we count... 10 doesn't represent the old dimension, it represents the new dimension. 1 to 9 is your first level. When you count 10, 11, you're going on to a second level. When you count 20, 21, you're going on to a third level. That means it's already detached. And if you notice that in the Hebrew letters, when you write the Yud has less, the Yud uses less ink and less space than any letter in the Hebrew alphabet. because it represents that which is most nivdal min agashmi, that which is most abstract from the physical matter. So therefore, the 10th day of the 7th month was set aside where Aaron would go into the chamber of the Kodesh HaKadosh. What do we have from here? We have three enormous forces coming together all at one point. We have Kiddushas HaMokam, the great most sanctified place on this world, the Kodesh HaKadosh, which was basically the joining of the two worlds and somewhat out of this world. We have the most sanctified individual, the Kohen Gadol, who wore the eight garments all of the time, Kedushas HaOdam, and we have Kedushas HaZman at the most sanctified time. In the 7th month, which represents a totality, a shlemus of this world, Soveya B'mitzvus, Tishrei has more mitzvahs than any other month, and on the 10th day of that month, that there were 10 levels that the world climbed from the Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, this is what the Torah is teaching us, where it states, Vayema Hashem al Maisha. Hashem said to Maisha, Daber al Aaron achicha, speak to Aaron your brother, Ve'al yove b'chol eis al ha-kodesh. He must not go any time into the chamber of the Kodesh, mibeis laparochas, from the bayis, beyond the curtains, el penei ha-kapores, in the presence of the golden top, asher alo oren, which is on the oren, veleyomos, because he would be subject to the death penalty. That's beyond human capability to go in there. Ki be'onan eiroi ala kapores, because I am there in the cloud, on the golden top. So the mokam ha-shechina, the shechina is too strong for any human being to go there. But b'zei shove aren ala kodesh. But there is a time when he can go. And that is when he does the avodas yom kippurim, the service of Yom Kippur. And like the Torah says later, b'chodesh ha-shvi, in the 7th month, b'osa l'chodesh, the 10th, then Aaron should go, or the sons of Aaron that will become, who will become the Kohen Gadol after him. Now, further point. We shouldn't think, though, that this whole business belongs to Aaron. This belongs to Israel. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, was not capable in his own merit to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. It states whatever the Kohanim did, they did b'schus Yisrael u'b'shlichus Yisrael. They did it through the merit of Yisrael and to represent Yisrael. It was because Yisrael was standing at that point, at that level. Therefore, they could send a representative into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what he did was to bring kapora, atonement, on himself, on his household, on the Kahanim, Baal Kol Beish Yisrael, on all of Yisrael. When Yisrael is not in that level, then Aaron cannot go in. The Gemara says the same thing by Nebuah, by prophecy. Ein Nebuah, Chal al Yisrael, Sheir al Yisrael, Ein Nebuah, Sheir al Anovi, Ela Bishvil Yisrael. The prophecy comes on the great individuals of Yisrael, but only in the schools of Yisrael. That's why it's brought many times that there were great individuals, but they did not attain such greatness because they were not in a generation when Yisrael was at that level. Had they been in that generation, they would have attained even prophecy. Because it's not on the individual merit, it's on Yisrael. So this means that on Yom HaKippurim, when we had our Beis HaMikdosh, Yisrael was able to go in there. But they fulfilled this through their representative, through Aaron Kohen Gadol. That's how they were able to do it. From here comes more light to what we heard not long ago. Not long ago we had a esteemed guest in the yeshiva. And that was Rav Simcha Cook, he shall be well. Nephew of the late Rav Avram Yitzchok Cook, the Akahanim. And he said a shir in the yeshiva. And he said a principle which he brought very, very strong proofs to. There's a halacha that when a person is emed u'mispalo, when he davens, he's supposed to be mispalo keneged amigdosh. He's supposed to face the Beis Amigdosh. That's why we face north. Other places they face east. Depends where you are. But then he brought that there was another halacha, that when a person is being mispalel, is davening, is chayv lira, is atzma, he has to see himself as if he is standing inside the Beis Hamikdash, and not only inside the Beis Hamikdash, but inside the Kodesh, and not only inside the Kodesh, but inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's where he's being mispalel. And this is with tefillahs every day. And as mentioned, he brought very, very strong proofs to this. Now, there's the question. How can a person look at himself as if he's standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim every day and davening, when even if he could be there, he wouldn't be allowed to go in? Even he were on Yom Kippur, he wouldn't be allowed to go in. Only Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, and that's only with the whole Aveda Shema Kippurim. So the answer is, physically he can't go in. The goof is me'akev. His physical shortcomings, his physical matter, which he's made from, that prevents him from going in. But spiritually he could go in. On Yom Kippur, then even Aaron HaKohen could go in physically. So therefore every day, spiritually, we're obligated to see ourselves if we are standing in the place where Aaron would on Yom Kippurim. Now, let's give some thought to the Shoroshi Hadvorim, the sources of this. Where does all this come from? We can ask a question. What is the source of Yom Kippurim? 10th day of Tishrei. Pesach, we understand why it's the 15th of Nisan, because that's the day we went out of Egypt. Shavuos, we understand why it's the 6th of Sivan, because that's when the Torah was given. We know Purim comes out on the 14th of Adar, because of what took place then. And the same thing, Hanukkah on the 25th of Kislev, because of the miracles that took place then. And the Torah, or this, in some cases the sages, established those Yom Tovim to be every year on the anniversary of what took place. But what took place on the 10th of Tishrei? That Yom Kippur was established to be on that day every year. The sages tell us that when Moshe went up to receive the Torah on the 6th of Sivan, he stayed for 40 days and 40 nights. Then he came down, and it was the 17th of Tammuz, and that's when Klal Yisrael went and made for themselves a golden calf. He judged the people, and the next day he went up to the mountain again, on the 18th of Tammuz. Again he stayed for a period of 40 days and 40 nights, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Oh, excuse me, also when he came down the first time, he broke the tablets, so he had no more tablets. So the next day he went back up, and he stayed again for 40 days and 40 nights, asking for forgiveness. And finally, at the end of the 40 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm prepared to listen. He says, go back down, hew out stone tablets again, and tomorrow come back up. That, when he went down, was the 29th day of Ov. The next day when he came back up with the new tablets, this was Rish Chedesh Elul. He stayed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, stay a third 40 days and 40 nights, which he did. He was Mispalo to Hashem. At the end of that period of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, Salachti ki dvarecha, I forgive you and the nation, and here are new tablets. He wrote the new tablets. Actually, Moshe wrote the second tablets, but he gave him the new tablets. That was 40 days from Rish Chedesh Elul. That was on Yom Kippur. So the second tablets were given on the 10th of Tishrei, and that's when Hashem forgave the people. Rashi says in Parshas Ekev, and also Rashi speaks about this in Masechta Tainus and in Baba Basra, he says, Mikan, from here, the 10th day of Tishrei was set aside for generations for Slicha V'Kabora, for forgiveness and atonement. So just as the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Mitzrayim, served as the source for the Chag of Pesach, and therefore every year on that anniversary we celebrate Pesach, so did the 10th of Tishrei, which took place at that time, the Slicha and Kapora of Klal Yisrael and the giving of the tablets, serve as the purpose, the time, when we should celebrate and commemorate Yom HaKippurim every year. This is the source of the 10th of Tishrei, B'Chedesh HaShvi'i Be'Asar L'Chodesh. And this is what the Gemara means in Masechta Tainus and in Perkei Shnochlin, where the Gemara says, Lohoyu Yemim Tovim LiYisrael Ki Kamish Osel Be'Ov Uki Yom HaKippurim. There were no greater Yom Tovim to Yisrael as the 15th of Ov and Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlama Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim. Gemara says, I can understand why there was such a great Yom Tov, because Yom Slicha V'Kaporehi, Yom Shenitna Boi, Lucha Yisra Achreinus. Because it was the day of Slicha and Kapora on that day. It was the day when the tablets were given again. And then it goes on to ask, but what was the 15th of Av, which is not relevant to us now. So this is the source. Now, if we follow this track further, we come to something very strange. Why was Aaron capable of representing Israel to go all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron was, where the Kaporos was, which no man is ever capable of, because of Yom HaKippurim? That's the day of Yom Kippur. And why is that the day of Yom Kippur? Because that was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Kapora to Klal Yisrael. What would have happened if during the first 40 days when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, Klal Yisrael wouldn't have made a golden calf? They wouldn't have served the golden calf. Then Moshe would have come down on the 17th of Tammuz. He wouldn't have broken the tablets. He wouldn't have judged the people. And it would have been never necessary for him to go back up on the mountain. Which means there never would have been a Yom HaKippurim, because the Yom HaKippurim was only because to ask for the new tablets and for the atonement of the people. Again, what would be if the people never made a golden calf? Moshe would have come down after the 40 days and everything would have been wonderful. There would have been the great Simchas HaTorah. The people were waiting. he would represent the new the tablets to them, the Sefer Torah, and finished. Then they would have gone on in their journey to Eretz Yisrael, where they would have stayed celebrating the Simchas Torah and gone to Eretz Yisrael. So they would, he wouldn't have broken the tablets. No necessity for new tablets. No necessity to judge the people. No necessity to go back up again twice and to ask for Slicha Kapora. Yom Kippur would have never come onto the Jewish calendar. Now, if Yom Kippur never would have come onto the Jewish calendar, would Aaron been allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because we say Aaron is only allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim because it's the day when HaKodesh Baruch Hu was Mechaper Klal Yisrael. So it seems that would have also vanished. How can that be? From here we see something which seems as a great chidush. But many, many years ago, many years ago, I could have even been a bocher in the yeshiva, I saw in a sefer from Reb Tzadok HaKain B'Lublin, who says this, that the whole reason, more than that, the whole capability of Klal Yisrael and Aaron to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was only because of the hate of the eagle and the kapora. In other words, like we're saying, if there would have been no golden calf, there would have been no hate and no kapora, there would have been no Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is the day to atone for the sin. Basically, it atones for the sin of the Cheta Egel. Well, there wouldn't have been. And if there wouldn't have been that, then there wouldn't have been the capability of Aaron going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But why? Because b'mokam shebalei tshuva aimdim, Ein tzaddikim gemurim yechelen lamaid. The Gemara says that someone who never leaves the king, is always at the king's side, is loyal, dedicated, he's at an enormous level. But someone who once forsook the king, left the king, even rebelled against the king. So he's a nozuf. He's a cherem, excommunication. But if he comes meirochek, if he comes from far away, and he does tshuva belev gomor, and he shav el hamelech, he returns to the king, he gains a higher position than the first one. And why is that? There's a pasuk that states, Shalom, shalom, lerochek ulekorev. It's a pasuk in the Nevim. Peace to all of the guests, to those that come from far and to those that come from close. From here we learn that if you're a master of ceremonies at a chasana, you must first greet the guests that came from far. You don't say, I want to greet everyone that came from Johannesburg and even those that came from Cape Town and Australia. No, you must say, I want to greet all of those that came all the way from Australia and from Cape Town. And Johannesburg you mentioned last. Why? Because who put in more effort to come to the chasana? How much effort does it take if you live in Sandton to go to the Sandton Shul Hall? Or someone that's coming from Cape Town or Australia? Therefore, shalom, shalom, larochek ulekorev, you greet those that came from far first, and then those that came from close. Those that come from close are not necessarily the grace of mechutonim. They're not necessarily the real mechutonim. They could be a friend, a casual friend, and so forth. But you don't travel 10,000 miles unless the wedding really means something to you. Someone who comes from far with an enormous drive to be there. His enthusiasm and his effort and his energies are far superior to someone who walks in from next door. The same thing. When we were by HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time, we were on one level. When we drove ourselves away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we came back through all of the aliyahs that Moshe was on the mountain and so forth, and we came back, and we came back with a full heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we surpassed the levels that we were on. And that's what the Chazal say, "B'mokum shebalei tshuva aimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yochein lamepai." A place where a bal tshuva is standing. And we're all balei tshuva because of the hate of the eagle, of the golden calf. We surpass the level of where those that were never away and never had to come back where they're standing. And it was in that schus, therefore, Bizeshove Aaron Alakodesh. Now Aaron can represent Klal Yisrael even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So from here, what we've said, So from here we see, from all that we've said, the great level that Israel reaches on Yom HaKippurim, where they could even send a representative into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This level they reach because of Kaparas HaChet, atonement. Atonement can only be done to all the Shavim, to those who do tshuva. Those are Shav, they do tshuva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaper. He atones them. The Maral explains that by Israel is possible a total atonement, a total kapora, if the person will be Shav, if he will come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because neshama shenasati b'tahorihi, the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, particularly to Israel, is tahora. The hate is not mitzad, is not from the aspect of the neshama. It's from the aspect of the goof, of the physical man. And it's superficial. And if it's superficial, then it can be removed. As long as he will want to remove it, and he will want to be shot. This is why it states, "Behold, Yem Techakalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits and looks forward every day when the person will come back. Im Yoshu Miyati Kable." And if he does tshuva, he comes back to him immediately. He'll accept him. If he doesn't do tshuva, heaven forbid, then it'll go and destroy his neshama. But if during his lifetime he will do tshuva, then since it's only meets from the aspect of the physical man, it can be removed. And a person can have a total kapora, a total atonement. And this is what Shlema HaMelech in Shir HaShirim wrote as follows. In Shir HaShirim, Posuk He. Shcheir ani v'nova b'nei shushaloi. Yisrael says to Hashem, I might be blackened, but I'm still beautiful. Ka'ole Kedar ki yiriya shloma. Like the tents of Kedar. Al tiruni sha'ani shechachores. Don't look at me because I am blackened. Zofasni Hashemesh. Because I am blackened only because I have been in the elements, in the sun and the winds so long. So Rashi explains here Imanish Khayri Kaole Kedor Hamashirim Bibnei Hakshomim Shem Prushim Prusim Tomid Bemidborius. The Kedor, the people of Kedor, they were a nomad tribe that would wander in the deserts. So their tents were always weather beaten and blackened from the elements, from the suns. They were not like all a Shlema, like the tents of Shlema Melech. So the Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look at me with disdain because I am blackened and I'm all weather beaten, because it's only from the sun. And Bikal, it's easy to become white again merely by going and sitting in the shade. So the interpretation of this is the chait of the person is not through and through. It's superficial. And he can remove it. And this is, so the on this day, the avoda, what a person has to do, is rise above his physical limitation, rise above the physical person, where his soul elevates beyond, and then he can come to tahara, to purity. And this is what is written, this is why it states that b'yemazeh, on this day, you will become lifnei Hashem titoru, yechaper aleichem mikol chateisechem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will atone you for your chatoim, and you will become tohor before him. This also is the purpose of the inuim, that this that we deprive ourselves physically on Yom HaKippurim, this is not to cause anguish to ourselves, but rather to cause a beetle, a nullification of the earthly desires, in order that the soul can rise. If the soul rises above, then it frees itself from the chatoim of the goof, from the chatoim of the earthly man. And this is why the Chazal tell us that b'yemazeh on Yom Kippur you're nekim kemalachei ashoris. You become pure like the malochim of the heavens. And we do such things as saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusei, the cold rum, and so forth. Now, let's go to one more point. We mentioned, well, it's in this vein. We said that the Kohen Gadol would wear 8 garments the entire year. And this was because of his level. And therefore he was able to go into the chamber of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There is an observation that we can make on this. Because the Torah tells us that his normal garments that he would wear the entire year, which were the 8 garments, and they refer to those garments as Bigdei Zohov, golden garments, because They were sewn also with gold. There were a number of materials. They were wool, they were linen, they were tchelis, blue wool, argoman, purple wool, scarlet wool. They also had gold thread, actual gold. The gold was battered and cut into thread, and they were sewn with gold thread. So they were also referred to as big day zohov. But these big day zohov, the Torah tells us, he was not allowed to go lifnai lefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with. He wore them on Yom HaKippurim, but only for Avedis Chutz, only for what he did outside of that chamber. But whatever he did inside that chamber, then he had to change to what were known as Big Day Lovan. They were white garments and made of only linen. Now, there are two reasons for this. First reason is that the Gemara brings, why couldn't he take his golden garments into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because en ketegen ases neger. Since the main avoda, or the shoris, the source of Yom HaKippurim, came to atone for the golden calf, so it was gold which caused the downfall of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it cannot be gold which will cause the lifting up of Israel. Ein ketegen nasis en eger, you cannot have in one person where he will be both a prosecutor and a defense attorney. Therefore, the golden clothes, garments, he had to leave outside. And he put on these white garments when he went in. We could ask the question, firstly, why was it gold that brought their downfall? Because they made the golden calf. I mean, if they would have made it out of some other material. Now, Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, it's your fault that they sinned. Because you gave them so much gold. It wasn't because merely they made a golden calf. But the Torah tells us that one has to be very, very careful. Penteichal v'savoto v'rom levavecho v'shochachto. When one eats too much, and he has too much, he must be very careful. Because he becomes arrogant, and he forgets who is the one that gives it to him. Moshe said, you gave them so much gold when they came out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. They came out as multimillionaires. Each one had at least 10 donkeys laden with the best of Egypt. Hishpatu aleihem zov harbe. That caused their downfall. So then they said, let us make a golden god. So if gold caused their downfall, how can gold be the ones that lift them up? We can ask a question though. But there was a great deal of gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the inner chambers. The Oren HaKodesh itself was overlaid with gold. The Kaporis was made out of pure gold. That's not a question. Because that gold was there for the honor of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, or for the honor of his Torah, or for the honor of his Bayis. The Rambam brings that when we build the Beis HaMikdosh, we have to build it with the greatest wealth possible. Because it's Beis Hashem, it's the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not allowed to skimp on it. And if the Tzibor can, if the Tzibor, if the community, if the nation is wealthy, they should overlay the whole Beis HaMikdosh with gold. That was there for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the garments of the Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says that the garments of the Kohanim were also mechaper, played a role in the atonement. So that's what the Gemara means. If the garments of the Kohanim play a role in the atonement, so how can gold play a role in atonement of which gold caused the actual sin, the actual downfall? Then there's another question. The Maharal asks this. So if that's the case, so then he shouldn't have worn the gold garments the entire day. Whenever he did anything outside of the inner chamber, he did. Now he says that's not a question either. Because the main atonement for the golden calf, that took place inside the chamber. The avodah which he did outside was not the main atonement for the golden calf. So this is why he didn't wear his gold garments. But this doesn't answer everything. Okay, so he doesn't wear his gold garments, but then why did he have to wear white garments? Big day love him. He could have worn other colored, just removed the gold. There was scarlet wool, purple wool, blue wool, just remove the gold. And that, the Maral says, this is in line with what we're speaking about. White represents something which is void and absent of any earthly mixture. When you have something and you have an additive, you add to it. You put something into it. This is what the colors represent. The white represents something which is void from all additives, from the earthly world. And since he was going into this chamber which was beyond this world, so this, therefore, white was the proper color. Now, the Torah said, you shall not go in, because I am in the cloud which is over the kaporis. That's one interpretation to the posuk. Rashi brings a medrash. Midrashai lo yovei ki im be'anon. Ki im be'anon. Ba'anan haktoris v'yema kipurim. Not that it says, not that the Torah is telling us you shall not go in because I am in the cloud which is over the kaporis, but you should go in when there is a cloud over the kaporis, and that's referring to the anan haktoris, to the cloud of the incense which was brought on that day. What does this refer to? Every day, the Kohen would bring burning incense into the inner altar. But he wouldn't enter into that chamber. On Yom Kippur, he would bring incense all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That burning incense would create a cloud. And here Hashem says, that's when you can go in, when there's that burning incense. What is the significance of the incense that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash? We find that it was brought twice every day, and on Yom Kippur, it seems to have played such a great role. When the cloud of the incense is in the inner chamber, then you can come in. The answer is as follows. A person has five sensations. Two of them are physical. Three are non-physical. The two which are physical is the sensation of touch and the sensation of taste. Touch is something that's a physical sensation. Taste something that can only be done through food. There are three others. But that's with non-matter. That's called mare vereach. Sound, something you can't touch. Sight, something you cannot touch. Reach, smell, something you cannot touch. For example, the Gemara brings kol mare vereach les bumishum me'ila. It's a halacha that if someone uses something from the Beis HaMikdash, which he's not allowed to, this is a great avera. he has to bring a sacrifice and so forth. But the Gemara says this only refers to something which is a physical matter. But if he has benefit through a smell, through the scent, aroma, or through a sound, or through sight of something of the Beis HaMikdash, then this does not apply. The physical matter is called mamish. And the Gemara always refers to these as lesbe mamoshes. And that's from the word mishush, because we can only feel if we touch something that's physical. There's a posuk in Kisovai, Perchov Ches, Posuchov Tes, Bohiso Memashesh, Bitzoraim, Kashe, Yemashesh, or Iver Ba'afelo. You will be groping around like a blind man in the dark. In other words, to feel something. Rashi brings by the Make of Cheshech, the plague of darkness. It states there, this is in Parshas Bay, Perek Yud Posuchof Aleph, V'yomesh Cheshech. What does it mean, Yomesh Cheshech? So Rashi brings from the Medrash Loshen Memashish, that it was a kofel mechufel, bi'av, atsho'ilei be'mamash. The darkness of Egypt was v'yomesh, where you could actually touch it. So we have two of our sensations have to do with a physical sensation, a touch, a taste. Three are not physical. Called Mare Bereach. In the Beis HaMikdosh, we had all of it. Besides the actual physical sensations, besides the actual physical, everything that was physical, you had kol. There was the shir of the Levim, with all of its instruments. You had Mare. The Beis HaMikdosh had enormous splendor of colors, like we mentioned, the garments of the Kohen Gadol, or the garments, or the Beis HaMikdosh itself. There was gold, all of the colors of the blue and the red and the purple. There were Avonim Tovus, the beautiful, precious stones. And we had the Ktoris. The Ktoris was that of aroma, scent. It's interesting, there's a Gemara in Masechta Berachos, and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that states, Gimel Meshivim Daita Shel Odom. There are three powers that can calm a person down, bring to him a tranquil effect, a calming effect, a settling effect on his mind and temperament. And that's kol mare vereach. Pleasant sounds. You want to calm a child, you speak nicely, softly to him. You can even calm an animal that way. Mare, beautiful sights, and reach, beautiful aroma. This calms a person down to his temperament and his mentality. Now, the more abstract the sensation is, the more directly it goes right into the depths of the person, into the heart and the mind and the soul. The less abstract, it has to go into the goof, into the physical man, so it does not go into the depths of the person so strongly. Of these sensations, the sensation that goes into the greatest depth of the human being, the Gemara tells us, is the aroma. The pasuk that states, Kol anashoma tehalel ko, every soul shall praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara darshans, we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even on that what the soul has benefit from. What is something that the neshama has benefit from? Reach, a sweet aroma. So there we learn that you have to make a brocha and a reach tov and a good aroma, a good scent, because that goes to the soul. It's also interesting to note that how does the reach go into the body? Through the nose. How did the soul go into the body? Through the nose. It states, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a soul. It's also, it states that when the soul leaves, it leaves through the nose, through the last breath, since it entered. So that goes deepest into the body, into man, into the soul, is the reach. This was the incense. And this incense had a special place where it went all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what the Medrash says, Ki bezos eroe ala kaporis. Bezos, that ki be'en onon eroe ala kaporis. That when there is this cloud of incense in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that was what Aaron wrought on the Yom HaKippurim, then he can come. One final little note, and that is the incense that was brought every day was ground until it became fine. It's a duck. The incense was made of herbs, and great large herbs, soaked in oil and so forth. But then it was ground into a fine dust, or a fine powder, a fine grain, into a grain. The incense which was brought on Yom HaKippurim, there it states, doubled, that it was refined twice. They ground it, and then they returned it to the grinders and ground it again, until it was just a dust, a powder. What was the significance of this? So the Maral says as follows. The Ketores came, the Gemara brings in Masechta Erechin, that the Ketores came as a kapora on Loshon Hora. People speak badly about other people. There had to be a kapora, an atonement for it. This is what the Ketores came for. The Gemara brings in Bava Basra, there is what is known as Avak Loshon Hora. Not actual Loshon Hora, but the dust of Loshon Hora. What is that? That's just a slight inference that a person makes. He doesn't actually say anything bad about someone, but he says a smirk. One or two words which are not actually bad, but he infers something. So that wasn't called Loshon Hora, but that was called the dust of Loshon Hora. The Gemara says, "Ein odem nitzel mizeh bechol yom." It's very, very difficult, almost impossible. The Gemara says, for a person to become free all of the time of even of a dust of Loshon Hora. But on Yom HaKippurim, that since Aaron goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this means that Yisrael rose to their height. They wouldn't be permitted there unless they could free themselves not only from Loshon Hora, but even from the dust of Loshon Hora. So therefore, the incense that was brought, Ketores HaSamim that was brought on Yom HaKippurim, had to be refined twice, dak min hadak, where it would be an atonement even on that. This explains to us two principles. Firstly, what Aaron, his purpose of Aaron to do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. But secondly, is that to the heights that Israel are required to rise to on that day, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, Vayem azeh yechaper aleichem. Kodesh Baruch Hu will atone us from all of our chatoim, lifnei Hashem titoro. We should all be zeicha to a gemar chasima tova, a good year, nachas simchas and shalom al klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.